Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God. For you are our rock, you are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. And let the people of God together say amen. How many times, I'm doing a survey this morning, how many times have people said to you, just get over it? Show of hands, come on. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Just get over it. Just get over it. That means to skip a beat and to just kind of keep moving on. But the African concept, Sankofa, says, no, don't skip a beat. Don't just get over it. That concept derives from the people of West Africa, and it literally translates to mean, it is not a taboo to go back and fetch what you have forgotten. Visually and symbolically, Sankofa is expressed as a bird that flies forward while looking backwards with an egg in its mouth, with the egg symbolizing the future. The bird reminds us that we can move forward, but we have to remember the past. And that's what we're doing today. But at the same time, we have to plant a seed for the future generations that are coming behind us. Today is a day where we remember and commemorate the enslavement of 12.5 men and women and boys and girls that were brought to this shore from Africa starting in 1619 and sold into one of the world's most barbaric systems of chattel slavery. Nearly 2 million people didn't even make it to these shores because they died in that period called the Middle Passage. Black people suffered brutality and mistreatment, and nearly half of all the enslaved people that were here were separated from their children, from their spouses, from their parents, from their siblings during this nightmare. The Sankofa bird reminds us to look back. It's not a taboo to fetch what you have forgotten. The articles that are going around about this campaign called 1619 reminds us of this. And it says, out of slavery grew almost everything that has made America exceptional. Its economic might, its industrial power, its music, its educational disparities, its voter suppression, its income inequality, its tolerance for violence, the prison industrial complex, the epidemic of racial fear and hate that continues to plague us to this very day. Slavery didn't end. It just evolved. The bird reminds us to look back, and why Bryan Stevenson has said this. It is painful and uncomfortable to see the brutality and the cruelty that we have allowed in this country, but we ignore it at our own peril. We ignore it at our own peril. So today, we are here to lift up the stories. Today, we're here to reshape the narrative. We are here today to hear stories and to see that out of no way, some folks made a way. Now, we say that in the black church, Made a way out of what? All right, some white folks have heard it too. That's very good. That's very good. So in retelling this narrative, we lift up stories of survival, stories of determination, stories of resiliency, stories of hope from a past that has been difficult, stories of endurance. So before I sit down, I just want to say that God has afforded us this time and this day to look back so that we can look forward. And we look forward with a serious kind of hope that is rooted and sustained in a future that is willed not by us, but by God. A hope that is rooted not on a failed past, but a hope that is possible because this wonderful, awesome God of the gospel cannot be domesticated into old patterns of injustice and social relationships. So I want us to hear some new stories this morning.
Before I begin with my storytelling, I'll just take a moment of personal privilege to welcome to our church today my colleague and friend, the senior minister of historic Charles Street AME Church, Dr. Greg Groover is here. Good to have you with us, Greg. I don't know what's happening at historic Charles Street, but. Kenyan proverb. Until lions start writing their own stories, the hunters will always be the heroes. In recent years, the lions have started to tell their stories. Amen. In recent years, biblical scholars have undertaken to tell the stories, hidden stories in the Bible, specifically histories and stories of people of color and African people. Did you know? Ethiopia is named 45 times in our Bible. Did you know Africa is mentioned more than any other landmass? Did you know? In Genesis, the first man named Adam, that in Hebrew the word Adam means reddish brown, dark brown. It is the color of the dark, rich clay soil from which the man was formed, which means he wasn't made white. Amen. Did you know the Garden of Eden is described as located near a four-river system in the region of the ancient lands of Cush, Havilah, and Ashur? Today, this would be at the confluence of the borders of Ethiopia, Eastern Sudan, and Eritrea. Did you know in the Song of Solomon, in the first chapter at the fifth verse, the bride sings, "I am black and I am beautiful." Did you know? People of African descent can claim deep roots in the Bible. Our Bible is populated with African ancestors. Not a few biblical patriarchs married or had children with women from African tribes. Abraham had children with Hagar and Keturah, both from African tribes. Moses' wife was Cushite. There was bitter jealousy between Moses' black wife and his white sister. And it's not a little ironic that Moses' white sister, who resented her black sister-in-law, is struck with leprosy, which turns her skin even whiter. Did you know, when the Israelites settled in the land of Canaan, there were Africans among them? Did you know the New Testament features the story of an Ethiopian who converts to Christianity? And this is not just any Ethiopian. This is treasurer of the Queen of Nubia. Did you know the New Testament also tells the story of Simon of Cyrene? Cyrene would be today's Libya in North Africa. Simon of Cyrene was forced to carry Christ's cross on the way to Golgotha. In time, Simon, also called Simon the Black, became a convert to Christianity and brought the faith to Cyrene. Much of this biblical blackness has been all but invisible to Western, white Western Christianity until, and are you ready for this, Old South? Until Phyllis Wheatley made the invisible visible. Until she, through her poetry, rendered the invisible visible. She revealed and she claimed the Bible's African roots. Phyllis, the lion, the hunted. She read her Bible carefully. She knew it inside and out, cover to cover. She noted every reference to Ethiopia and Cush, Cyrene and Niger. She marked every mention of Africa, every notation of skin color, ruddy Adam, a bride black and beautiful, a jealous Miriam turning white with leprosy, a celebrated Ethiopian treasurer to the Queen of Nubia. And Phyllis started writing, started telling her own story, she did. In her poetry, she describes herself as Ethiopian, which biblically is a stand-in for all of Africa. It is an identity by which she claims for herself biblical authority. She names herself Africa's muse and describes her skin color as an exotic sable. And I looked this up. During Phyllis Wheatley's lifetime in the mid-1770s in Boston, sable was among the rarest and most sought after of furs. You go, Phyllis. Phyllis Wheatley refuses to admit of the labels imposed upon her. She will not be either Negro or slave. No, she is Ethiopian. She is African. Her skin, an exotic sable. But there's more. The young poet lioness, the hunted, she looks upon the white people around her, her white contemporaries, and again she reaches deep, deep, deep into the Bible, her Bible, their Bible, our Bible, and she gives them, her white contemporaries, an epithet befitting their actions. She calls the white people of her day modern Egyptians. And with that deft stroke of her pen, she exposes their willingness to tolerate, participate in, and benefit from the institution of slavery, an institution our Bible says God loathes. Phyllis Wheatley, stolen from Africa as a child torn from her parents' arms, ensnared in the unbearable cruelty of the Middle Passage, Phyllis Wheatley, enslaved, sold, bought. Phyllis Wheatley, by her wit and quill, she turns the tables and becomes the hunter. She flips the script and writes her own story, and guess what? She is the hero. Amen. Kenyan proverb, until lions start writing their own stories, the hunters will always be the heroes. Today, on this 400th anniversary of the arrival to these shores of the first Africans, let me write a new proverb. Once the hunted start writing their own stories, oh hunters, beware. Tide is turned, the script is flipped, the lost are found, the last are first, the captives relieved, and the lowly are lifted up. And then and only then shall justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like a mighty stream. Amen.